Okay. Good morning, everyone. I'm so encouraged by the presence of God in this place. I'm encouraged by what God is doing. I'm also encouraged by just that reminder that Pastor Ben gave us that it's not a matter of just being in the same room, but we are everywhere in Durban. And so if you've joined us here online, perhaps this is your regular pattern, or maybe you've checked us out for the first time. We are so glad that you are here, and we hope that you're already sensing God coming alongside you and encouraging today, especially in these times. You know, every generation has those defining moments in their time and place, don't they? Where those moments, those events where they make you come face to face with the truth and then force you to choose a response. And every generation can point to that one moment in time where their confidence, their assurance, their dependence on something was challenged and they had to make a decision. And I know that this last year, 2020, has been a generational defining moment in our lives. I just imagine in 10 years, every single one of us will be asked the question, what were you doing during the lockdown? What were you doing during this global pandemic? Or what did you do? How did you respond during the lockdown? And there's no way around it. These days are going to leave an indelible mark on every one of us, aren't they? And I think that, you know, like it or not, we are witnessing and experiencing a new normal in terms of everything. In a new normal in our economy, how we're going to buy and sell, trade and do business, how we're going to do education, how we're doing church. You know, a few years ago, if they locked us down, we wouldn't be able to have church. But thanks to technology, we can still have church. It's not a matter of if we will, it's just how we will, right? In every way, shape, and form. And for many of those of us, we're going to have to face this new normal, maybe in a different context because we've lost loved ones. And if you have lost loved ones, our hearts are for you. And we know that this new normal is not what it was meant to be. But we are facing a new normal. And we can't undo what has been done, can we? But all we can do is do something about what we have done as individuals. We chose to start 2021 as a church, as a staff, as a team, with Pastor Randy challenging us to launch a series called Rebuild. Because last year, 2020, may have left every one of us like the people in the book of Nehemiah. Even though it was written thousands of years ago, we may be facing kind of the same feelings, if not circumstances, that they were feeling. That we are feeling uprooted, we are feeling the upheaval, feeling unsettled and unsure, with little left than the ruins that have once been our lives. The people of Israel had been uprooted from their world and taken into captivity. And when some of them returned, their cities were decimated. Their temple was torn down. Everything they remember, their national identity, had been completely wiped off the face of the map. And I'm sure that they felt that super intense feeling of upheaval that each of us is feeling because of our normal has been uprooted. And I'm so thankful that Pastor Randy decided to start the year off with this idea of rebuild. And I'm just so thrilled with the messages that have come from the staff. Pastor Adam started the series by showing us the power of realizing our actual current condition. That we don't know where to go if we don't know where we're beginning from. We don't know what we have to work with unless we ascertain what we have already. Pastor Dylan continued by giving us a way to effectively respond. And I was so challenged that, you know, we can react in our weakness and our fear, or we can choose to respond in a constructive way, just like Nehemiah led his people to do. And today I want to give us some specific results to aim for. You know, there's a principle that says, you know, intention doesn't get us where we want to go. Determination and destination determines where we want to go, right? It's like, I need to pick a place to go, and the quickest path between two points is a straight line. I know where I am, I know where I want to go, and that way I can get there quicker. And I really want to give us some results that we can aim for today. So let me begin by asking the question we kind of theorized at the beginning. How will you answer the question in 10 years, what will the passing of time reveal about the decisions that you have made? In this last year, perhaps there was a time where you just kind of settled down and hunkered down, and you didn't know what you were going to do, and I'm just going to take some time. But over time, you began to make decisions, or you allowed decisions to be made for you. And what are you going to do with the passing of time? What will it reveal about the decisions that you made? But more importantly than that question, rather than just digging up regrets or being paralyzed by the past, I would rather you ask the question, will I repeat old patterns or rebuild for better results? You see, Nehemiah arrived in Jerusalem and he could have just rebuilt and decided to, like, let's just do what we've always done. Let's just rebuild it the way it was. Or can we learn from the past and rebuild for better results? And that's what we're aiming for today. If we want to avoid repeating old patterns, Nehemiah, the book of Nehemiah, especially the latter half of the book, gives us an interesting strategy. And Nehemiah begins starting in chapter 7, and we're going to try to work our way through a few pieces of scripture in chapter 7, verse 13. But Nehemiah shows us that the first step in avoiding repeating old patterns and rebuilding for better results is that we've got to remember what matters most. We've got to remember what matters most. There is so much that has been taken away. Our freedom, perhaps our confidence, even just kind of that intrinsic confidence of hygiene. I mean, this idea of masks, always wearing a mask. It's like before you really stop and think about, like, you know, how we assumed that things were more hygienic than maybe they really were. And so we've got to remember what matters most. In chapter 7, verses 1 and 2, Nehemiah writes, "Then it was when the wall was built and I had hung the doors." In other words, the basic construction of the walls of the city and the temple were completed. "When the gatekeepers, the singers, and the Levites had all been appointed, that I gave the charge of Jerusalem to my brother Hanani and Hananiah, the leader of the citadel, for he was a faithful man and feared God more than many." I think this is really interesting because Nehemiah never lost focus on what mattered the most. The walls were not rebuilt simply so the people of Jerusalem could look at nice walls. The walls had a purpose. The walls had a reason, but Nehemiah didn't stop there. He didn't stop and focus on simply what was visible and what was tangible, but the scripture teaches he took care of that, but he knew that those walls served a purpose. Because he went deeper and assigned the singers and the Levites. And the walls were not built to look so the people could look at nice walls, but the singers and the Levites were there to lead the people in worship. Jerusalem was not a city in of itself. It was the place where God's presence was supposed to dwell. And he knew that if all I focus was on the outside, if all I focus on what is visible and leave the invisible, to leave the spiritual, to leave the spiritual unattended to, we've only done a partial job. And that is partially what we oftentimes forget. We will focus on the outside and neglect the inside. The walls were rebuilt so that people could worship God with greater glory and freedom like ever before. And our goal in 2021 should not simply be to get back to normal. Our goal should not be just to survive. But our priority should not even simply be to put our lives back on track, although that is a normal and reasonable goal. But it's my conviction, and I believe it's the conviction of the entire church staff and our heart here as a family at North Place Durbin, that our conviction should be our goal should be when the world is at its worst, the people of God should be at its best. By loving God with all our heart, all our mind, all our soul, all our strength, and loving our neighbor as ourselves. That when the world is at its worst and throwing its worst at us, that we should actually rise to the occasion and be at best. Every struggle and every victory in our life should actually take us deeper into praise and to consider how we'll pass that model on to the next generation. Nehemiah made sure that there were singers, there were worship leaders to point us back to God, to point us back to the name of our hope, right? And to usher us in to God's presence. And he also attended and said, "I'm looking for people who have a heart. I'm looking for a new generation of people whose hearts are towards God, who are maybe not the most talented, maybe are not the most gifted, but are faithful to God. And so that they may also lead the generation that follows us." And if we are not remembering the most important thing, if we're not remembering what God has done, if we're not remembering how God has sustained us, many of us would, if you were told a year and a half ago that you're going to go through this, I know I would probably say, "I don't know if I will. I don't know if I will survive." And yet here you are today. Here you are watching this message. You're still here. There's still hope. If we don't remember how God has sustained and how God has proven his faithfulness in unprecedented times, if we're simply not remembering to praise God more and deeply with each passing year, how can we really say we are walking in victory? Are we exposing those? Ask you this question. Are we exposing those who follow us, our children, our grandchildren, our neighbors, those we seek to influence? Are we exposing those to the faithfulness and power of God in our lives? Maybe we're making it through tough times, but maybe, just maybe, we're coming out more bitter and sour than ever before. Maybe we're resentful of what we've gone through and wondering where God is. And can I just say, that's not God's victory. His victory ought to lead us to a sweeter spirit and a deeper praise as we remember what matters most. But it's alongside, hand in hand with remembering what matters most, we also need to repent of what matters least. Think about that. In Nehemiah chapter 8, the first three couple of verses, it says, "Now all the people gathered together as one man in the open square that was in front of the water gate. And they told Ezra, the scribe, to bring the book of the law of Moses," their Bible at the time, "which the Lord had commanded Israel. So Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly of men and women and all who could hear with understanding on the first day of the seventh month. Then he read from it in the open square that was in front of the water gate from morning until midday before the men and women and those who could understand, and the ears of all the people were attentive to the book of the law." Now, think about that for a moment. They're still rebuilding a city. They're still trying to get their lives on track. Nothing was easy. Nothing was simple. Nothing was automated. And yet, they gave explicit amounts of time from morning till midday, prime time, to the listening of the word of God. And notice the result. Verses 5 and 6. "And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was standing above all the people. And when he opened it, all the people stood up, and Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God. Then the people answered, 'Amen, amen, so be it, so be it,' while lifting up their hands in worship, and they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground." And more and more is said about this in that chapter, and you can read it in your daily 20 to get the full context. In chapter 9, the first two verses says, "And on the 24th day of this month," in other words, this went on for many days. This was not a one-day event, but they made it a priority in the midst of all they were building and recuperating they were due. And it says, "In the 24th day of this month, the children of Israel were assembled with fasting and sackcloth and with dust on their head. And look what happens. And they stood and confessed their sins and the iniquities or sins of their fathers." It's very interesting that in the midst of rebuilding, the people of God committed themselves to the hearing of the word of God and responding to the word of God. And that is key. So often we can know something, but do we do something with what we know? Notice how they responded. They worshiped, they rejoiced, but they also confessed their sin. And this is important. This is crucial. They had to realize and admit their missing of God's mark, that the situation they were in was the result of an accumulation of decisions their forefathers, their people, their nation had made, and the consequences of it. And sometimes we are unwitting and unparticipatory victim of other people's decisions, but at the end of the day, we are affected, and we have no choice but to respond. And so they are repenting of the sin, and they realized that their people had missed the mark. And it was the beginning of the situation that their nation found themselves in. And we have to stop and ask, how do we sin? Sin is not an enjoyable topic, but it's a necessary topic. And the English word sin comes from the idea of to miss the mark. In archery, they would say that if one did not hit the target in the right place, that they would have sinned, or else they missed the mark. And a sin might miss the target by an inch, or it might miss it by 10 meters, but it was still a sin either way. We sin when we do what God has told us not to do, either by in his word or our conscience or through legitimate authority. And we may call that a sin of commission. We meant to do it. We committed a sin. Or possibly in this time of lockdown, isolation, alienation, being behind closed doors without anyone knowing what we're doing, quite possibly, more applicably in this time, when our routines are interrupted, maybe we're sinning by what we don't do, by what we do. We don't do what God has told us to do. We call this a sin of omission. In other words, we've failed to fulfill a moral or legal obligation. Not all sin is the same, but all sin is sin. And they realize this. The people of Israel realize this, that somehow, some way, we have neglected what we were supposed to do at the beginning. And they not only repented of their own sin, which each of us is required to do, is expected to do, but they repented of the sins of their forefathers. And I think this is important because they had to admit that they came from a pattern, that they followed a pattern that came before them. Now, I want to clarify something very carefully before anyone gets the wrong idea. I am not saying that there's some kind of generational curse. That's not scriptural. God doesn't punish the children for their father's sin, and it's evil to say that. And if you want to look at Ezekiel 18, there's more to that, but that's a different sermon. But we do need to recognize that those raised in an environment of sin may very well repeat the patterns of the past. And so we have to remember what's most important, and we have to repent of what is least important. Our sin is not something to be overlooked. Our sin is not something to be coddled. Our sin is not something to be valued, protected, or excused. But we ought to repent of that which is valued least in the kingdom of God. And that's what the people did. They stood, they confessed. And it shouldn't seem strange after so many great victories. They had built the temple. They had built the walls. And yet they realized that if I accomplish all of this on the outward, but if I'm not taking care of what's on inside, we're going to repeat old patterns rather than rebuild for better results. And so it shows us simply that repentance isn't something we finish after coming to Jesus. You know, I love the Word of God. It reminds us that he casts our sins into that sea of forgetfulness. He does not hold our sin against us. And you can stand in that confidence as you walk in right relationship with God. But don't cheapen grace. Don't cheapen what God has done on the cross. Don't give yourself a license to sin. But to realize that repentance is something that grows as we come closer to Jesus. That we have this idea that when I come to my Father loves me. He will in no way cast me out. That is a promise in the Word of God. But the Bible also says that he whom the Father loves, he disciplines. God loves us so much. He accepts us as we are, but he does not want to leave us that way. And as our love for Jesus and our relationship grows, we ought to be more willing to come and repent and to be cleansed and to be renewed. Charles Spurgeon said, "The repentance grows as faith grows. Do not make any mistake about it. Repentance is not a thing of days and weeks, a temporary penance to be got over as fast as possible. No, it's the grace of a lifetime. Like faith itself, repentance is the inseparable companion of faith." That's deep. And true repentance is always linked with action. I mean, ask yourself again, will I repeat old patterns? Will I repent and then go back to my sin? Will I repent and go back to my sin? Will I repeat that pattern and be satisfied in it? Or will I rebuild in light of what I know for better results? And that's where we come to the point of our results. What results will we pursue? We need to remember what matters most. We need to repent of what matters least, but we also need to reform what needs to endure. Think about this. Nehemiah put in reforms. He realized it's not just enough to rebuild a city. It's not just enough to rebuild a temple. It's not just to reestablish our worship patterns. But we also have to reform some things that we kind of got off track. We need to tweak some things because we're not getting the right results. We seem to be sliding back into old patterns. In chapter 10, we see that true worship and true repentance led the people to obedience, or at least that was the goal. Nehemiah's people made some crucial and specific decisions. And the more specific you get in your decisions, the more likely you're going to actually do something about them. I want you to, very quickly, I want to just draw three examples of decisions and reforms that the people made as a result of Nehemiah's reform. First, the area of decision, they decided they would be faithful to God when it came to their morality. Now, you need to look at in chapter 10 for the specifics of that, but as I step back and look at how that forms in our context today in 2021, we need to really take a look at our morality and realize that in lockdown and in sequestration and in isolation, that's where sin finds its root, where nobody knows what we're doing. No one sees what we're doing. Perhaps relationships have fallen apart. Perhaps people have drifted away, and they begin to find their outlets in ways that do not honor God. But no one's going to know, and no one's going to be hurt because it's done in secret. Can I tell you that is not how God works? And Nehemiah knew that if we're going to get back on the right path, we've got to reform our morality. Rather than just what is visually acceptable, we've got to get down deeper to the heart of it and realize that God cares about the matters of the heart. So he decided to reform our morality. He decided to reform the way they do business. And the motive for doing this was that they were deciding, in the scriptures it talks about, in chapter 10, it talked about they decided, you know what, we've got to catch up. We've got to make up for lost time. We've got to make up for lost income. We've got a nation to kind of, an economy to kickstart. And they began to work not just 6 days a week, but they began to seep in and work on the Sabbath, to take the Lord's day, because one more day meant one more day of income. And they probably found in many ways to justify it. And I'm saying, and Nehemiah led in a renewing of a covenant to say, you know what? We are not going to put our hope in money, but we're willing to sacrifice a day to put towards the Lord and believe that he's going to make up for it, rather than take all the responsibility and take the Lord's day for ourselves. And I believe this is a great challenge for the church today, where many are in careers where they have the opportunity to make money and they can say, well, I can make money at any time, and say, you know what, you got to put your priorities in order. It may seem like it may make sense in the pragmatic, but we need to have the same heart that God has and value what God has. I have a friend that says, if you take care of what God cares about, he'll take care of what you care about. And God cares about a day with you. God cares about time with you. That we should never neglect the meeting of the saints, whether it's in person or online. Many of us today, as true as in Nehemiah's day, will slip into practice subtly. We'll slip into these compromises subtly. We don't wake up in the morning saying we're going to cut corners. We don't wake up in the morning and say we're going to cheat. We don't wake up and say we're going to defraud the system. But we do it because we think we need to do it. And that's where we really need to reform, don't we? We need to reform how we do business and realize we don't own this business. We steward a business given to us by God. And he expects us to steward it in a way that honors him. So how do we, they made decisions to reform their morality. They made decisions to reform how they do business. But I find it interesting that the third area of reform was they decided to be faithful to God when it came to supporting God's work. Isn't it interesting? The Bible says we need to be givers, as you heard Pastor Randy said. That's not Pastor Randy's idea. That's not this church's idea. That's God's idea. And it's not so much for the sake of those we give to, but it's because giving sets our hearts right about material things. Again, we remember what matters most. And God himself is the greatest giver. We're simply trying to be like our Heavenly Father. If you're reluctant to be a giver, or as the Bible says, you should simply talk to people who are joyful givers and see how it's working for them. Ask them if it's been a blessing or a curse in their lives. God promises he will never owe us anything, and we cannot outgive God, though the return is often far better than tangible money. It's not an exchange rand for rand, dollar for dollar, but I know from my personal life that God is faithful, and God honors his word even in this. But before we dismiss this as old information, you've heard this before, you know this before, you know what's expected of a follower of Christ. Before we dismiss all that we've talked about as old news, know how similar we are to the people that Nehemiah was leading. Because despite remembering, despite repenting, they didn't fully reform. If you read the rest of the story, if you read the rest of Nehemiah, you realize that they did some of these things well, and then they began to compromise. It didn't sound good. It didn't sound easy. They weren't sure how to do it. They repented, they remembered, they repented, but they didn't fully reform. They didn't make the changes, especially in an institution or practice, in order to improve it fully. Chapter 13 gives us the rest of the story. It said, but during all this, I was not in Jerusalem. Nehemiah had left. He actually had to leave for a time. It says for about 10 or 12 years. And when he returned back, he realized that this remarkable spiritual revival that he had been working on and developing and actually had launched had not lasted. And I'm here to say that you can have an incredible experience. You can have an incredible moment. You can have an incredible track record of revival. But if you don't reform and don't hold to it, the real test of God's work, the real test of authentic repentance is in the long term. It's in seeing where we are with God in 10 years after a season of great work. And the question that preserves this work is, will I repeat old patterns? Knowing what I know about myself, knowing about my inclinations, will I remember what is most important? Will I repent of what is least important, whether it be my convenience, my comfort, or my preferences? And will I choose to reform for better results? See, in Nehemiah chapter 10, the people promised. They promised, we will not neglect the house of our God. But if you fast forward two chapters, Nehemiah had to ask, why is the house of God forsaken? It was forsaken because Israel did not keep its promise and did not reform their ways in order to keep them on the right track. And I think this makes a point vividly clear that rules, vows, promises, covenants, and the such are ultimately powerless to stop sin. It's only the grace of God. It's only alive grace of God, the power of God flowing in our lives on an ongoing basis can give us the power to truly overcome sin. The sin of commission, the sin of omission. But we have to make changes. We have to reform our lives to preserve the work that God has given. You know, I find it really interesting what God makes a priority. It may not make sense to us, but it makes clear sense to God. And at the end of the day, I wonder if we could say what Nehemiah said at the close of his book. He said, Remember me with favor, my God. At the end of it, Nehemiah knew he had done his best to make the people of God strong. He had done his best to set into way systems and processes that would make them safe and secure. But more importantly than that, he also had led them towards the goal to be pure, to be worshipful, and to be obedient to God. He took care of the practical, but he also made sure to focus and prioritize the spiritual. And too many Christians today, I think, are trying to look for victory in the making of more rules. They're trying to make vows. How's that working for you? They're trying to find a way to do this in the new normal. They're trying to find a new way in the new normal. And it may sound cliche, but you know what? The classics never go out of style. And at the end of the day, they failed to find that solution because all those things tend to make us look to ourselves. They try to make ourselves in our own power and rather than looking to Jesus. I really believe the Holy Spirit orchestrates the worship set that we choose here at North Place. To be reminded our hope isn't a person. Our hope has a name. You know the power of a name? It's that you can't be vague with it. You can't make an assumption about who you're talking about and fill in the blanks with who you want, your preferences. His name is Jesus. And he sets parameters. He's very clear about who he is and who he is not. And Paul expressed in Romans chapter 3, he said, "For what the law could not do in that it was too weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own son in the likeness of spirit of sinful flesh." That we can't say it's too hard for us. We can't say, well, you don't know what I'm lacking. You can't say that you may be able to do it, but you have what I don't. Can I tell you, I am just like you and that I am sinful flesh and I cannot do it apart from Jesus. But praise be to God that he came in likeness of human flesh and overcame and he provides us with victory. If we could be saved by our own promises, if we could be saved by our own commitments, if we could rebuild our lives on our own, that would be great, but then Jesus would be unnecessary. We aren't saved by some vow we make. We're not saved by a to-do list or a New Year's resolution that we make at the beginning of the year. But we're saved by trusting who we are, what we have, even what we have done, to the mercy, the grace, and the power of Jesus Christ. You know, the book of Nehemiah wasn't written to address a global pandemic, but it was written to address a global predicament. The circumstances and the situations are different, but the common denominator of human frailty and divine faithfulness are the same. So as we get ready to close today and we're seeking to rebuild in 2021, imagine what our lives would look like. Imagine what our lives would look like if we chose to apply the lessons in this ancient book of Nehemiah. What would happen? Just imagine for a moment. What would happen if we, as Pastor Adam had started us out saying, by fully recognizing the condition of our own heart and lives and relationships in this moment of time, if we really remembered where we are and looked at where we are, you know, we can't undo what's been done, but we can do something about what we've done. What if we remember and recognize where we are today and we became so dissatisfied with it and said, I can't do this again. I can't repeat 2020. I've even seen memes on social media saying 2020 introducing 2021 and saying it's just more of the same. It doesn't have to be that way. We don't have to repeat old patterns. We can rebuild for better results. What would happen if we responded appropriately, like Pastor Dylan said? And if you need to go back, I would encourage you to watch these messages again and get lined up. And what if we happened to commit to aim and focus on the right results? If we said, you know what? I'm going to aim for a different target this time. I'm going to take a little bit more time and I'm going to steady my aim. And if I miss the mark, I'm going to repent. They say practice makes perfect. And I'm going to keep aiming for that. And if I keep missing, the Bible is clear. Though a righteous man falls 7 times, he gets up again. Because he knows where his righteousness stands. Not in his own ability, but in the righteousness that is freely given through Jesus Christ. You see, every one of us is facing a defining moment in this moment. Don't miss it. Don't bypass it. And don't put it off. Every one of us is facing a defining moment. And that defining moment comes when each of us can sincerely ask and answer the question put before us today. Will I repeat old patterns, or will I choose to rebuild for better results? That's the question you have to ask today. That's the question you have to face today. It won't be easy. It won't be comfortable, but it's worth it. It's worth it. I don't want to repeat old patterns. Oh, I want to rebuild for better results. 2021 doesn't have to be a repeat. It can be a reset. But it comes not in our own strength, but in the strength that is given to us through the name of Jesus and through relationship with Him on an ongoing basis. Let's pray today. Thank you so much for joining us online. Again, it's unusual. It's unorthodox. But that word just resonates with me. It's not a matter of gathering, of if we gather. It's a matter of how we gather. And regardless of how we do it, let us commit to rebuilding our lives, our relationships, our church, our society, aiming for better results that bring glory only to the name of Jesus. Amen. Let's pray today as we close. Heavenly Father, Lord, I believe that you're connecting so many people today around this city and perhaps in this region, around the world, in the name of Jesus, Lord, to bind together and say, we repent. I repent of sins of commission. I repent of sins of omission. I don't want to go back to my old life. I don't want to go back to old patterns. I repent. I bring those into the light. The Bible says if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. That we hold to that promise today. We repent. We remember what's most important, to love the Lord our God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and to love our neighbor as ourself. You said that these two are fulfilled the entire law. You modeled it. And we want to be like you, Jesus. We remember what's most important. We repent of what is least important, and we choose, Lord, let your word reform our ways. Today we commit, God, to rebuilding our life, not to repeat old patterns, but to rebuild for better results. I pray we would see it, Lord God, the difference we make. I pray those closest around us will see something has happened, something has changed. Someone's taken a different route. They're not doing what they used to do, but they're making strides. They're seeing the work of the Holy Spirit. May, O Lord, it become more and more evident, Father God, that we're achieving the results that you want us to achieve. I pray for the empowerment of your Holy Spirit to remind us of your word, help us to be not just hearers of the word, but doers of the word, and to bring forth fruit that lasts. Help us to rebuild better than before in 2021, we pray. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen, amen, amen. God bless you today, and may this be the day of a new beginning for you. God bless.